Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And who dat? Welcome on in. It is week one of the NFL season, the actual gosh darn football season here. No more of this preseason stuff, Steve. Welcome on in to the Acadian Windows Saints fans first take. I'm Seth Dunlap, former Saints offensive lineman Steve Kort alongside. We're getting you set for the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right here on WWL kickoff just after noon today. We've got a lot to get to today, including some surprising roster moves we'll start off with here in just a couple of seconds. Also, our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com today. How confident are you that the Saints will start the season off strong with a win against the Bucs? Very somewhat, or not going to jinx it. That's online at WWL.com. Our Oakland Heart Rolex time is 3 hours and 50 minutes before kickoff. And Steve, we start every show with Kort's take. So what is your take about the game today?
Look, you look at both of these teams and where they're going, and look, it's the first game for each of us. You know, everybody's 0-0 still. So this is the one where you get off to a good start. If the Saints really want to do something this year, and I think that this is the perfect season for them to do something big time, it's going to require a fast start, and you should beat the teams that you should beat and need to beat, and because there's going to be games along the line that you know, every now and then you're going to have an issue where you're going to have to overcome some things, and obviously a team that you should master is, again, Tampa. There shouldn't be a problem here. Look, I don't have a problem saying that we should beat this team by 20. And I know that the line is 9.5, but I know that the way both these teams are trending at this point, you kind of look at it and say, okay, you know, they've got a backup quarterback to me, which to me, if I look at Fitzpatrick, I think he's probably not. I feel probably more comfortable, or actually not as comfortable, you know, being a Saints fan,
right,
with him in that position as I would with Jameis Winston there. I think that he has all the skills, he has all the things you need, and I think he makes good decisions and smart decisions. And okay, he's not going to make some dynamic plays and things like that with his legs, but nonetheless, I think he's a guy that can certainly manage the game. Defensively, they've always tried to build around McCoy and sort of what they've got there, but really they've never been able to do it. And they've always had some really kind of fast flow type linebackers that have been able to really sort of get some things done and mess some things up. And I just kind of see this team sort of traveling in a different direction. Now, the one thing that the Saints are going to have to do, and that we saw evidence of this in the preseason, is the fact that they have to stop the run. And right now, I know that it's preseason, and I know that, yeah, it is what it is being preseason, but we need to start stuffing that run. I mean, that's a problem. And if Peyton Barber's a big old heavy back, if he's the guy that's going to be getting most of the load today for them, you know, you let a big horse like that get going, and it can certainly wear you down. It gobbles the clock at the same time. It keeps the ball out of our hands offensively, and it can cause a problem. So get them off the field, and certainly the way that we're going to do that is to be able to shut them down on first and second down.
Well, I think we found out how important Alex Okafor was to this defense. In his absence, we saw Trey Hendrickson in the preseason over at that right defensive end spot, and he was getting run at consistently. And offenses obviously saw something, an offensive coordinator saying, hey, Trey's not ready probably to be that run stopper, every down guy. And I've said it all offseason, that was one of the most important moves, because if you look at again, I know nobody really wants to talk about these advanced statistics, but they're there, and they say that Alex Okafor is one of the best run-stopping 4-3 defensive ends when he's healthy in football. And really, on the opposite side, you got another one of them, obviously, in Cam Jordan. So, well, if those two guys are healthy,
look,
Steve, it's a different dynamic.
I'll just say this, that yeah, your edges are important. There's no question about that. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys that are like a Cam Jordan that are equally as good on the pass as they are on the run. And Cam Jordan is excellent at both of them. And, look, Hendrickson has shown some, you know, actually great, you know, flashes of what he can do in the pass, and he holds his own a lot. But look, when teams figure that out, that look a little bit soft on this edge over here, we can sort of pound away at that.
It was ugly at times.
He's a little bit light in the backside, and I think what happens is they feel like they can get moving on a guy like that. But, you know, Okafor in and of himself is not a big, heavy guy that can really sort of get it done. But he does – he's able to play on that edge a little bit, and he sort of plays the corners pretty good on that, to where he puts himself in position leverage-wise to where he's able to sort of do some better things, I think, run-wise. So you hope to see him back sort of full strength. This will be the first time you've actually seen sort of live bullets on both sides of the football, because it's going to look a whole lot different than it did in preseason. So, you know, don't get set to thinking that the preseason was kind of a reflection as to what's going to happen, you know, in the real season, because, as you know, things are dramatically different.
That's Court's take on today's week one game against the Bucks, Saints Bucks. This is, we're going to say this every time, Steve. Show five of what, 23? That's right. Show five of 23 here on the first take.
You keep up with that.
I'm counting it down, man. I'm counting it down. We got 16 regular season shows to go, and then three in the playoffs. They're going to get a bye. One on to the Super Bowl. So there
I like
you go.
The way you think.
It's the Acadian Windows Saints fans first take. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. And this is your show. You can give us a call. Tell us what you're looking for today. Maybe what you're worried about today. It's 504-260-1870. That's area code 504-260-1870. Throughout the week, the surprising roster moves continued. And Steve, we talked about this throughout the preseason, that because of the depth, because of the talent here on this squad, you're going to see guys cut that are immediately going to go elsewhere and not only grab roster spots, but maybe get significant playing time. We saw a couple of surprising moves this week, although looks like these guys will stick around here in the area. One of them earlier this week was Boston Scott. Everybody kind of thought with the preseason that he had, he was a lock to make this roster. Well, he did initially, but then he was released middle of the week to make room for Mike Gillisley, who comes in here from the New England Patriots. Here's Sean Payton on why the Saints cut Boston Scott.
Well, we're kind of moving some roster spots around, and I think a lot of it had more to do with the bigger picture with how we want to go into this game. You know, we thought he had a good training camp for us, and yet one of the challenges, especially early in the season, is trying to fit all the right pieces in place relative to your active roster and your practice squad. And
so they released Boston and Scott, waived him. Now, he did pass through waivers. He's on the practice squad now. The other surprising move, and this was even more surprising to me because, and maybe we should have seen this coming because of the depth on the offensive line, but they've released Jermon Bushrod, a guy that everybody thought, look, there's no way they're going to release this guy. He's the veteran presence. He can play that tackle spot, the guard spots as well. No, they released Jermon Bushrod so they could bring back a third running back. Because remember, they released Boston Scott, so they only had Gillisley and Alvin Kamara. So they bring back Jonathan Williams to be that third guy this week.
Well, look, I've told you before that this is like that bottom portion of your roster. If you don't have a bona fide starting spot, especially with this roster, as deep as it is, and as good as it is, I told you from the get-go that it was going to be hard to make this team. If anybody coming in here, whether you're a free agent or unless you're kind of some sort of superstar or something like that coming in here, that it's going to be hard to make this strength roster. They are deep, and they've got good players everywhere. I don't see there's not a lot of weaknesses anywhere. And if I had to be, I guess, real picky about it, I could say, okay, I don't feel comfortable with our tight end position yet. Okay. So, okay, they'll figure that out. Okay, that's H-back tight end. They'll interchange that spot, and they'll put some tweaks on the offense to where they don't have to utilize that spot as much. But, again, that's being almost over-picky when I'm looking at that, because if you look up and down the lines of scrimmage and you look every place else as far as the secondary and whatnot, this squad is deep. And like I said before, I wouldn't be surprised if Jermon Bushrod still isn't sitting here in New Orleans somewhere, because they said, hey, hang around, because we're going to be making some moves on Monday. That bottom percentage of the roster here is pretty fluid, and when things change over the weekend, you may have a spot back here, depending upon how so-and-so decides he's going to perform on Sunday afternoon. So, look, your spot is tenuous here, and I'm talking about the guys that are the swing guys on the offensive line. Look, each and every week, the pressure's on, because, look, there's a lot of really good football players out there that sort of still have, black and gold written on them at this point, and they haven't been picked up yet, but they come and they're plug-and-play guys, and that's a great position to be in. And look, in the past, it's worked out well for us. Last year, I think I'm talking to Dan Rauscher, the offensive line coach. I think we had three games out of the, 19 games we played last year? We played 18 games?
Yeah, that would have been 18, two playoffs.
18 games. I think we had three or four games that they put the starting five in, and the starting five played that.
It's crazy.
And the whole, I mean, other than that, it was pick here. We got to move this guy here. We got to move this guy here. This has changed here. This has changed here. These two guys are not hurt. We got to put. I mean, it was a constant kind of a musical chairs thing. But they came in and they played well. I mean, if I had to sit there and grade the offensive lines this year, the Saints' offensive line is in the top five for sure, and may not, and probably is the top three.
Well, if they're healthy, yeah, they could be the top three unit, no doubt about that. The Saints did bring back Michael Ola and also Josh Laribis earlier this week, so they do have depth along with Will Clapp.
Laribis is another guy I told you about, another plug-and-play guy. I mean, he's been around. He was with Washington before us, but he's greatly improved since he's gotten here. He's a guy that can play center and guard, both of them. He's a smart guy, and, you know, if you saw him, you'd say, he's you know, a big enough guy, but you'd say, compared to some other guys, maybe doesn't quite fit the physical for, you know, what you're sort of looking at, the eyeball test, but gets it done and does it with some pretty good technique and doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, you know?
Yep.
So he's a guy they know they can count on and they can trust, and that's a huge thing.
Just getting started here on the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take. Seth Dunlap and Steve Corton, you can hop on in with us. It's area code 504-260-1870. Text line is open at 870-870. Coming back, we'll talk about some things we're watching for Saints against the Bucks today, and then a little later, the Saints running back situation. Is it tenable or is it tenuous with Kamara and Gillislee and now Jonathan Williams there in the backfield? I think it's pretty tenable even without Mark Ingram. Remember, they're missing him for the first 4 weeks. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. This is the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Welcome back, and this is your show. Your calls and texts all show long at area code 504-260-1870. And you can text us at 870-870. Come on in here, Saints fans. News this week, and I think it was an awesome news, that the Saints are going to induct Tom Benson into the Ring of Honor during halftime of today's opener against Tampa Bay. And look, this seems playing for him. They talk about it this week. The coaching staff is coaching for him. Tom Benson has meant obviously so much to this organization, so much to this city, Steve.
Oh, I could go on and on. We don't have enough time. But I look, the accomplishments and the contributions that Tom Benson has made to not only the city, but, you know, just into the Saints and the organization. You know, he acquired that when I was still with the other organization, you know, under the Meekum regime, I guess, if you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And did nothing but great things, you know, for us when we were here. And you know, truly has a love for the city and the people in the city. And I think that's the thing that's separates him from a lot of other business-type people, is the fact that he truly cares about, you know, everything that's going on here, and especially the city and the teams that represent the city.
That'll be at halftime today. Tom Benson inducted to the Ring of Honor out there at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. All right, let's talk about some things to watch Saints against the Bucks today. I'll tell you what I'm watching here. And you wouldn't, well, the guy that you don't really have to watch, you know he's going to play well, you'd think, is Drew Brees. But because it's week one and you watch around the league quarterbacks who don't play a lot in the preseason, it is an annual tradition now. It takes them 2, 3, 4 weeks to really get going here. I'm going to be watching him pretty closely because he's still the engine that drives this offense.
Well, yeah, as if it hasn't. I mean, he mm-hmm. really is the he's the coach on the field. There's no question. And the fact that, you know, not only does he have the leadership and the skills to be this Hall of Fame quarterback that he is, but the fact that he's going to go out there and probably not be as sharp as you would think he would be, but it'd be hard to tell. I think he's really he's going to get plenty of protection. You know, we've got a great offensive line, and the fact that he has the tools around him now, the running game, the things that I've done is really sort of Drew's best friend at this point, especially in this time of his career. And look, he utilizes those things so well and makes the adjustments and adjusts to sort of what he has, and then kind of adjust as to what the defense is going to try to give him and the strengths and the weaknesses they have, and he exploits them. And it's so fun to watch a guy that has that much command and that much control of a team. So he's fun to watch, and it's kind of addicting, because then you watch other quarterbacks and it's disappointing, because you're sort of hoping that they'll try to make the kind of same kind of plays and do the same kind of decision making that he does, and it doesn't happen that way, and it's frustrating to watch it.
Here's a text, a tweet actually, from @J2Ads. Saints fans on the way to the Dome, remember how you felt after their last game, and make sure it doesn't happen again when teams set foot in the dome. I think that's in reference to, well, let's just say the play we shall not speak of anymore in last year's playoffs. The Saints are going to be without Mark Ingram here, Steve. And some people, they call every single day on my show and say, the Saints aren't going to miss Mark Ingram at all. That's a bunch of nonsense. No. I mean, this guy has been an all-pro level back, one of the best all-around backs in the league. Can they piece it together without him? Absolutely, with the talent. But they're still going to miss the guy.
Look, he's a Pro Bowl running back for a reason. I mean, the guy is he's a battering ram type of a player, and he gives us sort of a 1-2 punch and obviously a different wrinkle than, you know, just the sort of slash and burn that Kamara can do, because every time he touches the ball, it's like lightning striking. At some point, something's going to happen with Kamara. But, you know, look, he's proven it, time and time again. You know, a lot of times he'll get those tough yards for you, and then he breaks them, and he makes good decisions. He's a great, you know, pass blocker. Look, we're going to miss him. Anytime you have good football players that are starting football players on your offense and or defense, and they're not there, you miss them.
We'll talk a little more about the Saints running back situation, some sound from Kamara, and also the newest Saint, Mike Gillisley. Here is a tweet from @JubieSkull doing the Sean Payton, "Who dat, baby?" Love that meme. Seth Dunlap, Steve Court. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take, and you can hop on in at 504-260-1870 on WWL. Welcome back to the show, Seth Dunlap and Steve Court, and this is your show. Area code 504-260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. Getting ready for week one of the NFL season, and Saints taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right here in the Superdome. Fans coming on down right now. It's just a couple of, about 2.5 hours, 3.5 hours before game day, man.
It's here. It's here.
It really is here. So the Saints running back situation maybe was a little tenuous earlier in the week, I think, by re-signing Jonathan Williams here. Steve, they give themselves depth, and it was one of the most surprising cuts for me coming back when they had the cut down to 53 was releasing Jonathan Williams, because I didn't think Kamara would be a guy you want to get 20, 25 touches a game, although he seems like he's ready.
I wouldn't put anything past him. He's obviously a durable guy that we've seen. I mean, I think he's obviously one of those fast twitch guys that he's sort of not, I want to say thin, but compared to a lot of backs, he has sort of a thin build to him, but you can tell he's super strong. And I can tell you, you don't get a straight shot on him. You notice the defenses when they try to, kind of bottle him up. He's got amazing flexibility, and the fact that his balance is something that he's like a cat. You can't get him off his feet, and he continues to go forward. And then once he gets a spot, he hits it. And I think he's a lot faster than people realize. He's probably one of the most fastest backs in the league. But he doesn't look like it. He's just super smooth. He's like a Cadillac, He just hits it.
A little like
just,
Deuce that way, right? He has the size, but...
He wasn't as big, and Deuce was more of a banger. Mm-hmm. I mean, Deuce is a big,
but he still had that speed, guy. 4.31.
Oh, no, he was a fast guy. I'm not taking anything away from Deuce. But at the same time, they're different style guys. Deuce would just soon run over you. And I think Alvin just decides that he just turns to smoke in front of him, And I think it's hard for, those guys to manage that. But both of them were obviously, if Alvin Kamara ends up having a career like Deuce McAllister, it'll be great. Look, I'll just say that the fact that Jonathan Williams is another one that he's a guy that can flat leave you. He's got a lot of speed, and at the same time he's a bigger back. I think he's that kind of guy that's in between. Kind of maybe a Mark and an Alvin, but at the same time I think he's going to be a good addition. I was a bit surprised that they released him too when that happened, and I kind of thought that Boston Scott was going to be here, and I didn't I felt that he might have been maybe the last back they kept, but at the same time it looks to me like they've got a spot for him on the practice squad, which means that at some point, like I've said, and I'll say it every week, that they're like racing car tires. You got to change them a lot, and when a guy gets nicked, they'll put him on the 53.
Well, they played that game pretty well, because I think they didn't release Boston Scott initially. I think he would have gotten scooped up in waivers when everybody were looking to fill their team, released him after.
I think they thought the same thing, and I think I'm just trying to say that I think they were trying to play kind of a cat and mouse game with the
running backs. For sure they were.
No doubt. Which is smart, and they ended up winning it because they got both the backs they needed.
Yep. Here's Alvin. We're talking about Alvin Kamara's touches, and this has been the endless debate, it seems like. How many touches can you give this guy, a guy who hasn't been the featured back? And I use that word. Maybe you don't really use that word anymore. That's kind of an old-fashioned word. But he hasn't been the featured back anywhere he's played. He's been fantastic everywhere he's played, pretty much, but never the featured back. And Kamara talked about how many touches he possibly wants to get this week.
I don't know. We got to see how it goes. I mean, I feel good. We got a good plan in. You know, everybody looks good. Practicing hard, so I feel like we're ready. You know, I think the guys in the room understand, you know, what the job is, you know, so we all ready. Whatever amount of touches I get, it is what it is.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to say. That's what he has to say. I do think they feed him the ball definitely a healthy amount. They're going to give him every chance to make some plays here.
There's no question. I think that obviously they have packages in for him. And there's certain plays that Sean knows that he really does run the best as far as not only matching up for who they're playing against, but really sort of how the offensive line and the running backs sort of mesh on those certain plays. And there's a lot of times, you know, I can just remember going back that there was times that we felt like we blocked a play up pretty well, but for some reason Dalton or Ruben or whoever it was, you know, didn't particularly feel, you know, too good about that play or just didn't like it as much. And then there were other times that, you know, we felt like, hey, you know, we got this blocked up and our running back loves that play, you know, and for some reason, it was just something they liked. And whether it was just the way they were built or the way that, you know, they their balance was or how comfortable they were with their eyesight and the things they, you know, could envision and as far as, you know, cutting to daylight and things like that, that's one of the things that you notice with good backs. And somebody like Kamara has great vision, you know, he just sees stuff really, you know, before it sort of happens, he anticipates what's going to happen defensively, and he makes his cuts accordingly.
Le'Veon Bell-esque vision there, no doubt about that. He gets compared to Le'Veon, but I think at least vision-wise, they're very familiar.
That's just called patience, you know. And I think what happens is a lot of backs get kind of excited, and they're trying to get as much yards as they can as quickly as possible, and that's understandable. Okay, that's sort of what it's about. But at the same time, the good ones realize that if they are just a step behind as they're watching this thing unfold and let their linemen get into place or let these receivers sort of get on a certain angle on these DBs to where they've got them blocked downfield, that turns in from, you know, a 6-yard game to a, you know, 16-yard game.
Patience, man. The Saints running back room going to look different, no doubt about it. And Kamara talked about that. New guy, Gillisley, coming in. Here's Kamara.
It's cool. Those guys from Dwayne to Mike to Jay Will to Zach, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's knows their role. Everybody's doing their job. Everybody's working hard. So, I mean, I don't think there's any fall off, you know, just new faces. But, you know, everybody comes in and, you know, we got a welcoming, presence in our room. So it's cool.
Well, Mike Gillisley has been signed. He's the new guy that he's talking about here. And we all remember him from New England.
Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Something about Alvin Kamara when you listen to him. Not only does he say the right things when he's talking, okay, and I understand that because when you're sort of talking with the press, a lot of times you have to temper your remarks from the standpoint of you don't want them to misread something or misquote something that might be taken out of context to put, you know, make it look like you're saying something about a teammate. So you have to be kind of careful about that. But at the same time, you also realize how bright he is. As far as football IQ, this guy – he doesn't make many mistakes. I mean, he is a bright, bright guy.
You know, he doesn't make mistakes, and I don't know if you read that Bleacher Report profile, which is just fantastic. The one thing that stood out to me from that is he doesn't care if he does. He's not trying to make mistakes, but he doesn't care if you don't like what he says. You know what I mean? He's going to be real.
He is, and that's the part that I think you have to appreciate about him, because when he's talking to you, you're getting the real story as to what he's saying, and he's able to put it in such a vernacular that you understand, you know, exactly what he's talking about offensively. I mean, he's bright, and at the same time, you appreciate his attitude. It's not about him. He's a team guy all the way.
Mike Gillisley, and the newest Saints running back, has spent his entire career so far, well, previously anyways, bouncing around the AFC East from Miami to Buffalo last couple of years in New England, and now he's got to learn this offense, and this is a complex offense. Mike Gillisley, speaking to the media, talked about that.
Day by day, you know, I'm still learning, but I'm picking it up pretty quick. It's coming along. It's all about taking time out, and that's what I've been doing at night, is studying a lot.
studying a lot. That's what he needs to do to this offense, and it's the learning curve here. Definitely a learning curve for him.
Like anything else, Sean Payton's going to know one thing. They said, "Look, we know you know how to run the football. Okay, we're not trying to teach you that. We want you to make sure that, like, when the audibles are called, that you don't get number 9 hit in the mouth."
Yeah.
That's first and foremost.
Pass protection for sure. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. We'll get to your calls and texts coming back. And Sean Payton talked about the offensive line being maybe the most important units on this team. I know Steve's going to like to hear that. We're coming back. It's the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take on WWL. Kicking off Saints game day here on the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take. We're energized, Steve. You got the double Magnum energy drink going on over there. And just I eschewed the energy drink today. I'm usually with you over here. I just went a little coffee.
Standard Joe.
I know.
That's good, though.
It's a little standard. I just getting started early. I'm saving
yourself.
I am pacing myself. I'm saving my big energy moments a little later in the year. Saints Bucks coming up today at noon right here on WWL. So offensive line. I know you like talking about the O-line. It was back in focus this week as they released Jermon Brooksrod. They brought back Michael Ola and Josh Laribas. The one thing about this unit is it's consistent, especially with the starting five units, and they might be, when they're healthy, if not the best, one of the best two or three units in the league.
No doubt.
And Sean Payton, Steve, he talked about just how good they could be and how important it is, the chemistry among that unit.
Yeah.
Look, the first thing for the fan is they follow the football, and it's generally away from where the offensive line's playing. I think more and more with the coverage we have, though, and the in-depth coverage when you get to all the analysis that's done with television shows, I think when you start seeing a team have success offensively, it generally starts with that position group. I think it permeates your team, really, when you have a good offensive line. So
he's right. It's never the glory, but the most, I'm telling you, and I'm with you here, Steve, the most important unit on your football team is both the offense and defensive line.
It always is. I'm just telling you. How your offensive line goes is how your team goes. And people say, oh, he's up to that again because he's an offensive lineman. I'm just telling you, look, nothing gets a team's not going to get going at all if it has a bad offensive line. I don't care how many great wide receivers you are, your quarterbacks.
Look at Atlanta,
running
Steve.
Backs. Yeah, look, case in point, they got absolutely smoked the other night, by a front seven that obviously is pretty good with Philadelphia. But, Matt Ryan looked pedestrian. It was like...
That's being kind, by the way.
I am. I'm trying to be nice.
That's a very nice word for how he played.
I'm trying to be nice, but I'll just say this. Look, Sean knows that, this game starts up front, and it's what's up front that counts. Talking about your offensive line, and I can tell you that if this team is successful with its offensive line like it has been the last couple of years, there's no question. But even if we have some of those guys stay a little bit more healthy during the year. Guys are going to get nicked during the year, there's no question. But, the more healthy they are, the better off, way better off number 9 is going to be. And if number 9's okay and we keep him on his feet, there's too many guys and too many weapons that we have on this team offensively that we shouldn't be the number 1 offense again. No question.
There's our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. How confident are you that the Saints will start the season off today with a win against the Bucks? Very confident, somewhat, or hey, you just don't want to jinx it. You can log on to WWL.com and cast your votes. Taking your calls coming back. Jump on into the program at area code 504-260-1870. And the text line is open at 870-870. Here's a text from the 504. Seth, you see Puka Williams tore it up yesterday for Kansas, 125 yards. Yeah, Puka Williams, former Hanville Tiger out there. Go Hanville, and I guess go Jayhawks. Rock chalk yesterday. There you go. All right, back after this, the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Indeed, welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Who Dat Nation. Seth Dunlap and Steve Court here with you. And here's a text at 870-870, Steve. Steve's right. Hey, I like to hear that. At least you like to hear that, I'm sure, Steve.
Are you doubting me?
Steve is right. How your offensive line goes is how your team goes. Ask Archie Manning. Yeah, I think everybody would agree with that. Anybody who really knows football, and I don't mean to be flippant or anything about this, but it's not. It is cliche, but it's true, man.
I'll tell you this. It's if you're a fan, I understand that. I mean, you want to watch the action, so you want to watch number 9 throw it to, you know, number 13, or, you know, swinging out of, you know, flare out to 41, or, you know, you're sort of looking at it that way, and you're watching the ball because that's the exciting part of it, and I understand that. But how all that stuff comes to fruition and how it begins and how it is going to be successful is because of the 5 guys up front. So if you ever get a chance to watch a game with an offensive lineman or somebody that knows the game and you watch it from a tight end zone view, it's a lot of fun, because then you realize it all starts coming together for you. So neither there's any some kind of confusion in your mind as to how all that happened. Hey, it's things come together that way, and you can see it.
Coming up next hour, picks and predictions. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.